Today that often makes people cringe. I'm going to talk about tithing, but I make no apologies. I truly believe if we open our hearts to hear what God has to say, this message will be an immediate blessing, not a burden, and not a guilt trip. Lord, as we do come, as we do look at your scriptures, as we do pay attention to what it means to be people who give according to your will, help us to understand that not through the world's eyes, not through what we do or don't have, but through our relationship with you. God, reveal that to us in a very real and powerful way this morning. Speak to us. Take away the things of this world, the things of our humanness that at times can keep us from embracing the truth of what you have to say. Lord, I ask if there's anything that I say that's not according to your will, that it be blown away as chaff in the wind and people not understand it, not even hear it, but that they hear only what you desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share a little illustration that I think will hopefully help us get to this point of understanding that when we talk about tithing, when we talk about offerings, when we talk about giving, that it's about so much more than what we might at first think about. There was a man who buys his little boy some French fries. The father does what all fathers do. He reaches over and takes one French fry to taste it. The little boy slaps his father's hand and says, "Don't touch my fries." The father thinks his son is selfish. The father knows he bought the French fries and they belong to him. The father knows his son belongs to him. The father could get angry and never buy his son another French fry again to teach his son a lesson. Or the father could actually cover his son in French fries. The father thinks, "Why is my son so selfish? I gave him a whole package of French fries. I just want one French fry." God has given us money. When he asks for a tithe, people figuratively slap his hand and say, "Keep your hands off my money, God." God owns everything we have. He wants us first to manage what we have for his glory. He expects us to manage our time, our talents, His temple, the testimony, and treasures. And secondly, we're to give back a portion of what he has given to us. In my decades of preaching, I have never used or even heard the scripture used as a part of a tithing sermon that we have today. Yet, I use it today with all confidence that God has a message of encouragement and challenge for us. I want to read it. It's just one verse, so I'm going to read it again and try to hear it as God would have you to right now. "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving." Woodland is in a great place. If God were sending Paul to convey a message to us today, as he did to so many churches, this is what I believe he would say. I believe Paul would say, "Dear people at Woodland, all of you, boys, girls, men, women, longtime members and guests, you are doing a good thing. You are faithful. You have sought God through scripture, prayer, fellowship, worship, and everyday encounters. You have come closer to God, and in return, he has been able to bless you with hope, assurance, and purpose. People of Woodland, your words are true and genuine. You're not ashamed to share the gospel of who Jesus Christ is when given the opportunity. You've also grown more and more willing to let others know what God's doing in your life. Not only that, but your joy is a reflection of God's love for you and those you encounter. You're drawing others to God with your words and actions. Woodland folk, you have wisdom of the Spirit, recognizing where the Spirit is at work, joining God and advancing the kingdom and celebrating who God is and what He is doing. People of Woodland, Church of Woodland, you are embracing the love of God and sharing it with those around you regardless of their similarities or differences, whether they deserve it or not. You are a reflection of God's love. Woodland, you're good people. And it's because of this I challenge you to another level. Because of your faithfulness, devotion, spiritual wisdom, and love for God and others, I believe God is able and willing to do more. I challenge you to give. I challenge you in giving not because God is short on resources in need of our help, but because God desires we grow in even greater relationship with Him, to trust Him in all things and experience the fullness of His blessing. That's what I think Paul would say. So, this message, why should I tithe? I'm going to begin with because God commands it. Some people, even some Christians, argue that tithing is not a practice God expects of us today. Tithing, or giving 10% of your income, is considered by these to be an Old Testament law and not relevant in the New Testament. Personally, I believe tithing continues to be relevant today, but is simply taken to another level in the New Testament. Consider this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. That's the New Testament. In the Old Testament times, people lived under the Mosaic Law. Understanding and following these laws were the premier guidelines as to how God's followers sought to live and to please God. All that changed with the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have connection to the Father through the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the living God with us that leads, guides, and directs us with God's power according to the Scriptures. So does this mean Christians aren't expected to tithe anymore? For me, to ask if we have to tithe anymore is like asking a teacher, do I really need to know what you just said for the test, or can I forget it? Tithing was a discipline we find all throughout the Old Testament. If anything, in the New Testament, we are given more responsibility, just as students are as they move further in education. 1 Corinthians 16:2 brings out 4 points. I want us to consider the phrases from these verses. The first one, it says, first day. Said on the first day. So first day in terms of tithing here talks about priority. And there's some of us that give offerings, but really what we're doing is we're giving God our leftovers. We take care of what we think we need to, and maybe even what we want to, and then what we have left we'll give to God. Scripture, the New Testament, by the way, says that on the first day, the first thing we do is set aside what is God's. Secondly, it says every week. On the first day of every week. That means regularly. Not just when it feels appropriate. Not just when we show up to church. Regularly. Let me tell you about my dad. My dad worked at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Plant in Danville. I think he got paid twice a month. And when he got paid, he went to the bank, and I don't know what he did with all of his money, but I know that a portion of that he took out of the bank in cash, brought it back home, and I'm almost positive it was at least a tithe, which would mean at least 10% of what his check was. And he came back, and some of you may have known these offering envelopes that are about this big that you would used to have every week. He had one of these, and he would take that money and he would put it in that box. And every Sunday morning before we went to church, he would go to that desk, he would pull out that drawer, he would take an envelope out, and he would take a certain amount of that money out and put it in. And we took it to church and put it in the offering plate. I believe with all my heart that that made a difference in his relationship to God. I think it made a difference in the way that he used his money. But for me, another thing it did, it was an example for me and my brother that saw him do that. We're running around getting ready, doing whatever we're told. But when he did that every week, week after week after week after week after week, we saw that. My dad was a Christian. And I understood from the example that he gave that that was something that was important in his relationship to God. And I understood that that's probably something that I should connect with also. So, regularly. And then the next thing, the scripture says, each one of you. So to me, I think this means individually. There's a lot of times you may say, well, we're dad put it in so it took care of the family. Mom put it in so it took care of the family. Well, I believe it's important that my boys know the meaning of what it is to tithe. So when they do an odd job, Christy and I have conversations with them, and they can pretty easily now figure out what 10% is, and we encourage them to make that a part of giving. You know what? If they get $20 and they figure out that giving $2 now is something they're supposed to do, and that first 12, 13-year-old, that $2 is $2. But if they can figure out that, then when they get a paycheck that's $1,700, a little bit easier to understand what it means to give 170 if they're going to do 10%. So it begins with teaching and providing examples and doing that individually. Everybody has that responsibility according to the scripture. And then the last phrase I want to touch on there, it says, in keeping with his income or her income, which means proportionally according to the Lord's blessing and the Spirit's leading is what I would say. And this is where that whole 10% question comes in, because I think now instead of the New Testament scripture saying a tithe and saying 10%, it's saying proportionately according to your income. And I believe that's as the Spirit leads, because now instead of the Mosaic law, we have the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is a part of our life, that's what we pay attention to. And the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. And God isn't about taking our money or his money, which is really what it is. How likely is it that the God of the New Testament, who called us to be servants and leaders and part of the body of Christ, co-creators in the kingdom, would ask less of us than he did of people in the Old Testament? I believe we've been given even more than these through the love of Christ. You know why? They had the Mosaic law. Yes, they had prophets, but since then we have been a part of receiving Jesus Christ, who God allowed to die on the cross for our sins, who loved us that much. And not only that, we also have the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that lives through us, that lives with us, and leads and guides us and provides for us and bestows us with God's power. Is that not something to be thankful for? Is that not something to respond to? Is that not, in a way, an understanding of what Scripture says, that for him who has been given much, much is expected? Before I conclude this point, I want to say one other thing. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I don't want anybody here to leave here saying, Greg made me feel guilty. It was another sermon about tithing. I have to do this. I haven't given enough. I don't want any of that. It's not about me. It's not about me standing up here and saying some things. It's about your relationship with God. And if you aren't at a point in your heart yet where that's a thing you can do and feel good about it, you know what? God doesn't want it either. What God wants is a relationship with you. You don't buy God's love. But as we enter into relationship with God, then we begin to understand who God is and what He desires in our life. So yes, tithing is about 10%, but I'm telling you, don't let Satan get into this message today. There are several ways Satan can do that. First of all, if there can be an uneasiness, and there can be an uneasiness that comes from God, and that's God challenging you to think about some things maybe differently than you have before. But there can be some uneasiness that comes from Satan too. Uneasiness that creates anger. Uneasiness that's, how can I possibly do that? It may be that you say, Greg knows what my situation is. He knows I can't do it. Or Greg doesn't know what my situation is, and what right does he have to stand up there and say that? I'm not doing either one of those things. I'm simply trying to share what God desires, and what God wants to do is bless you, not take away from you. I promise you that. Another thing I need to share, and because I saw this happen one time, I don't think I've ever preached a sermon related to giving that I haven't shared this since, because I don't want Satan to ever have an ability in the presence of people I hear to do this again, because it broke my heart. If you are feeling convicted and really want to give, and you're married, you have a spouse, do not use this against your spouse. Do not go and say, God told me to give, and so this is what we're going to do, and this is what's going to happen, because I believe probably the funds you have are also understood to be a part of what your spouse has as well. And you don't just up and say, I'm doing it because God said, and not let that person have a say in it, because you know what Satan's going to do? Satan's going to take that, and he's going to put a rift in that relationship, and it's not going to be anywhere near what God wanted us to do. Where on the other hand, if you have an honest conversation with each other and try to figure out where each other's coming from and pay attention and have discussion, it may get to a point, and maybe you don't give 10%. Maybe you haven't been given at all, so you give for a first time. Maybe you haven't thought about percent, but you can't manage that, so you start off with 1%. God honors that. It's okay. It's not about the money. Do you hear me? Tithing is not about the money. It's about the relationship we have with God. But we're supposed to give God every part of who we are. And sometimes money becomes so important in the world we live in that I believe that's why God has to remind us not to let that become more important than who He is. I should probably move on to the next point. So, I think most people would say God doesn't need our money. And I agree with that. So if God doesn't need it, why do we have to give it? It just, doesn't that make sense? Well, I think that we're supposed to give it, even though He doesn't need it, because it strengthens our faith. And that's where I was beginning to go with the other. Tithing continually reminds us of our relationship to God and keeps us from thinking too highly of ourselves, our own abilities, and our own achievements as something separate from our relationship with Him. Now, a lot of times you can hear this type of stuff of people talking about we're not worth anything compared to God and all this thing. I don't believe in worm theology. I don't believe God looks at us and thinks we're like worms of the dust and he had all His grace on us and just is. If He really saw us that way, He wouldn't have allowed His Son to die for us. God loves us. God lifts us up. We are created as co-heirs with Jesus Christ Himself, and we are to identify ourselves that way as loved by God. And we have worth and purpose, and we're to know that. But in the same light, we will fall short of what God desires if we try to go the distance in this life without Him. We are a wonderful creation, but God is the creator. We didn't create ourselves. But I believe that if we respond accordingly with our tithing, it helps us to understand that more. It helps us to strengthen our faith. I want us to consider another thing. I believe tithing is an antidote to materialism. Antidote means it can help the problem. Materialism is a trap which can lead us to letting things become more important to us than God. When this happens, we not only have a tendency to struggle in matters of faith with God, but also in relationships. All relationships around us can be affected by materialism. Our priorities are affected. Satisfaction with life is affected and goes down. And perhaps even financial ruin. Materialism is a bottomless pit that is never satisfied. Thoughtfully and faithfully allowing God to lead and guide us in our process of giving to His church also tends to carry over into allowing Him to guide and direct how we use the rest of our money as well. Does that make sense? When we think about God, that we're given this, we recognize it's yours. That whole thing of French fries, you provided for us, and it's okay for you to have one. But you know what? You provided it for me. And I'm thankful for that. And so I'm not going to take this for granted. I'm not just going to assume it's mine. I'm not going to trash it. I'm going to take care of it in the way that you want me to. What do you want me to do with it, God? That's how it affects it. It's not just about you give that 10% and I, the rest of mine, I can go do whatever I want to with it. Because if you're truly tithing in the way, again, it's not about the money. It's about the relationship. And it changes the way we live the rest of our life as well. Finally, that I want to share before I have someone else come, tithing is an investment in the kingdom. It's about something bigger than ourselves. And for Baptists in particular, this is a big deal. At Woodland, in the time I've been here, it's been a goal for us to contribute 10% of our contributions to ministries outside of our programs. And that continues to be a goal. But this year, the finance committee, along with other church leaders, are considering a different approach with the same goal. In years past, we've simply had the treasurer cut a check for an agreed-upon percentage of various offerings to give to different places doing different things. And people could make other contributions as they chose. But there was very little talk, discussion, or even awareness. Many of you don't even know what mission causes we've been supporting and why. In the future, the Finance Committee, in the near future, in the next month or so, Finance Committee will propose a budget for the new year. It's likely that this budget will not include an automatic 10% allocation for missions. It may be zero, it may be some between 10 and zero, we don't know yet. But this is not because we think missions is any less important, just the opposite. As we indicated in Scripture today, we want each individual to be aware and make a personal choice when it comes to being a missions partner. Our first opportunity will come in the month of September as we collect for the Alma Hunt mission offering, and you'll see these next month. You will not be asked to give to this offering just because it's something Woodland chose to do. You'll be informed as to how this offering has been used in the past, the impact it's had in the kingdom, and what goals and plans are there for donations that will be made to this offering. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. So, I ask you today to think about those things. One other last point that you see in your bulletin, if you're looking there, is that tithing brings joy or blessing. And I'm going to ask John Medness to come on up, and as he does, what I want to tell you is that John is one of those that he is faithful. And in his time, he's had conversations with me about tithing. I could tell you about the blessings and joy of tithing. But I know John's story in a bit. And so I've asked him to come and share so you get to hear from him how God's blessed his life through this practice we call tithing.
Wow, it looks a lot different from up here. Thank you, Greg. I just want to say it's very humbling. But it's a huge honor for me to be able to share what God has done in Trish and I's life. I don't take it lightly. And it is so so wonderful to share how awesome our God is.
Amen.
Amen. It and you'll have to forgive me, I don't do this. So I'm just gonna share from my heart. When Greg asked me to do this, Trish and I have had a few conversations the last few days about how God has blessed us and what joy it has brought and the blessing that it has been. And when I first thought about it, I thought, you know, it's pretty easy because I can think of quite a few things that God has blessed us with. He has been more than sufficient. And then the more I thought, it's, you know, he said, keep this brief. And literally, I got about 3 pages. And this isn't, and this, that doesn't include what we talked about this morning for about an hour. And so I'm going to share a couple of them, but I'm going to also share the things that most of the time we think about. And hopefully this goes right along with what Greg said. It's not about the money. God doesn't need our money. But through the years that we've been in church and even in the workplace and friends that we've had and all, they say, well, I know God doesn't need my money, and I'm not going to give because I need it more than he does. You know? And to a point, that's true. But he can do a lot more with that 90% he asks, you know, that we get to keep after we give him that 10%, than we can do in our human strength with the 100%. And it's also, on several levels, it's not about the money. Because God says in the Old Testament, he says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, there's a family back there that's got a lot of cattle. But you ain't got that much, do you? I don't think there's anybody other than God. And my dad used to add to that and say, you know what? When you have a need, God can slaughter one of those cattle for you. And so many times God has blessed us because we've been faithful. And that's the key to it, is us being faithful to what God's word is and what God's will is for our lives. He doesn't do this as a punishment or because he needs it, but it's a blessing to us. It's such a joy when we get to that point that we can give and see how it blesses not only just the church, because think about it, somebody's got to pay the lights here, the heat, and not just, you know, your salary too. So, you know, but it the Bible says to bring the tithes into the storehouse. This is the storehouse. And it's the only place in the Bible. It's in Malachi. You guys can look it up later, chapter 3. It's the only place in the Bible that God says, try me. Everywhere else, if you try God or try his patience, said, don't do that. You don't want to mess with me, you know, on that level. But here he says, try me. And then what's the rest of it? And see if I don't open up the windows of heaven. Look how high up off the floor they are. And I will pour out a blessing to you that you can't even receive. It's not the doors just a little bit coming out, but it's the windows of heaven. And I don't know how big those windows are. They're probably pretty big. And I'm waiting for that. That doesn't mean you're going to get rich if you tithe. But you will be blessed And some of the blessings that we've had have been many. One of them is the fact that, you know, the jobs that I've had. Trish and I started out 44 years ago yesterday as man and wife. We lived in a little trailer. A couple of the gifts that we got from our wedding, we went out to eat and used that money. And ever since, God has blessed us. Now, we didn't get it right all the time, and we didn't get it right from the start. And it was tough for us to give. And for a long time, I listened to one of my coworkers who is a minister, part-time, you know, at a church. But he said, you know, you don't have to tithe the whole thing. And for many years, we did that. And like Greg said, God was still faithful that we were tithing it. But if I'd known if I'd tithed the whole amount, you know, he said tithe the part that you get after taxes, after FICA, after Social Security, after, you know, your 401k if you got it and all these other things. You know, then just tithe on what you actually get. But if we'd known what we knew now, oh my gosh. Again, it's not about the money. It isn't. Because you get much more than that with God. And one of the things that Malachi and in other places it says that I'll put a curse on you. It's not God putting that curse on you. It's you refusing that blessing that's the curse. Your relationship with Him is that blessing. And it says in His Word, and He is faithful to it, is that I want nothing but good for you. Nothing but good. And that's His definition of good, not ours. Because that might be a whole lot different. But we got to know the will of God. And as we do, it just starts to bless us. One of the biggest things that we had, first starting out as new Christians, several years after we got married, and we had started tithing a little bit, what we could. We were tough. It was tough for us. But we wanted to buy our own house. We had moved from the little trailer into a little apartment, and then we wanted a house. American dream. Problem was, we didn't have any down payment. The apartment we lived in was furnished. We didn't have any furniture. But we mentioned it to our pastor. He says, you know what? He came back to us a little later and said, I might know somebody who has a house for sale. Still remember her name, Nellie Upchurch. It's a little starter home. But it was nice and neat. We looked at it. And she needed $5,000. I mean, for us at that point, it could have been $500,000. We didn't have that. We didn't have $1,000. But God provided that $5,000. And not only that, let me back up a little bit. Before we didn't just think of this house just, you know, on the spur of the moment. We've been praying for it. And we've been told when you pray, pray specifically. Not just in general terms, but specifically. Now, this was back in the mid-70s, okay? 1975. So don't laugh at some of the things we prayed for. But we really wanted some really nice blue shag carpet in the bedroom. And kind of a gold or something like that in the living area. And the other thing is, we didn't have that $5,000 just for a down payment, but we also didn't have any money for furniture. Like I said, it was a furnished apartment. We didn't have anything. This was a nice 3-bedroom, 2-bath, small house, 1,200 square feet. But it was nice. And it was like 2 years old. But when we started talking to the lady, she said, I'll leave the furniture in here. She had a big old overstuffed sofa, and it was new, fairly new furniture. Bedroom sets, we're leaving that in there. We're going to leave the appliances in there for you. And Trish shared this with me. I'd forgot it. She'd always, as a child growing up, she'd always wanted one of those little white French provincial furniture things, bedroom sets. She said, I'm swapping out that in that bedroom. I'm swapping it out. I'll bring you another bedroom set. Okay. You know, it's better. You know, I don't care what you give. It's better than what we got, which is nothing. She bought a white French provincial bedroom set. Dresser, side tables, bed, everything. And then, oh, by the way, there's no washer and dryer in there. But they're going to deliver you a brand new washer and dryer. It was all because we were being faithful. This isn't about us, but it was about God being faithful. And he has been faithful throughout our life that way. We haven't got it right all the time, and we have failed him so many times, but he is faithful. And so I just wanted to tell you that. I could go through another big thing that you'll find when you do this. Maybe not, but it's happened to us, and we know of others that has happened. And we've been able to bless others this way as well. We had a need, again, was thousands of dollars that we needed, and only Trish and I knew this. We had not shared it with anybody in our church or friends or even our family. And this one man came up to us one day after church and said, John, God told me to give this to you. And he named the specific need. He didn't know it. Nobody knew it. And it was right at that right time. And we've had God speak into our life too. I want you to go give this. And sometimes it was tough for us to scrape that together. I know one time. God is faithful. And like Greg said, it isn't about the money and it isn't about giving it to God. Doesn't need it. But in order for us, the benefit for us, the joy for us, is in that giving, because then we show our faithfulness and our relationship with God to that point where, you know what, God, I do trust you. That I acknowledge that 100% of what I've got came from you. Yeah, you work for it. Yeah, you want to work every day or whatever it is that you do. But who gave you that job? Who gave you the ability to do that? Who led you through the steps of your education or whatever training that you needed to do that job and blessed you while he was doing that? All of that came from God. It does come from God, whether we acknowledge it or not. But when we acknowledge it, that's when the blessings start to flow. I thought somebody was beating a drum back there. So many other times. And every time we have failed, maybe it's in over 40 years, we can look back and sometimes we've done it. You know, it's tough right now. And we slow down a little bit now. And when we do, our finances have come back up. And I've heard a couple sayings. And Greg read this one verse that I had written down. Is 2 Corinthians verse 9. You know, you sow sparingly. Probably every one of us in here has had a garden, if not fields, and grow crops or whatever. I know David Bohr's got a huge garden. He's got beautiful gardens. and he's got probably a lot of produce. If you sow sparingly, David, what are you going to get? Not a whole lot, are you? You plant 3 tomato plants versus 30 tomato plants, how much are you going to get? So when you sow abundantly and not grudgingly, you're going to reap abundantly. What you sow is what you reap. You sow a little, it's going to be a little. Give a dollar, that's fine. Like Greg said, it's not about the money. And God will honor that. But really, a dollar or $5 or $20 or whatever it is, give according to what you get. And he will bless that. And it's not just in material things. It's in our spiritual things too. It's in things that you can't put a, you can't pick it up. I mentioned that we've been 44 years together. And sometimes it's been a little rocky, but it's been great. One of the things that tears that I've noticed and I've read about it is that finances tear marriages apart in some cases, other things. But when your finances are in order, and I say when you're tithing together, it takes that level of stress out. Because you're not worrying about where that money is going to come from, because God will supply it. He says it in his word. But my God shall, not maybe, not possibly, but shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19. That's a promise, and God is faithful. So I just wanted to say that. We can't outgive God.
Amen.
Throw a lot of money to it and see what he does. He says, try me. He says, try me. And the last thing I want to say is, for those of you still are kind of skeptical about it, I'm going to tell you, you can't afford not to. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. I'm sorry I went long.
Music leaders to come. I want to conclude at the place we started. Preachers hesitate having a message about tithing, about giving of any way, because inevitably there's challenges, there's discomfort, there's people that that just struggle and say all the church wants is our money. If that's the way you're feeling, that's not what's been said today, and that's not what God says. God truly wants to bless us. And that means being willing to give God every part of our life. And when we talk about tithing, it's not just about our money. It's about our time. And giving of our time, giving of our abilities, giving of the resources that we have. And if we just spend time connected with God, he will help us understand that. And he will speak to us about what that is on a regular basis. So, you know, maybe we aren't required to tithe. In fact, I don't believe we are required to tithe in the same way that people were in the Old Testament. Because I think nowadays we have an opportunity to tithe more directly, specifically in the way God leads us to, if we have that relationship with God and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So that's what I'm begging of you today, to seek that relationship and respond to God accordingly, so we can receive his blessing and be a part of his kingdom and share that blessing with others as well. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 16, Trust, Try, and Prove Me.